Hello and welcome. It is so good to be back. I have truly missed all of you, and this is Black History Month. Hello, my name is Lawana Parker, and I am the host and producer of Courage to Live Your Dream. We are a part of the Raven International Media Network, and the whole purpose of my show is to interview authors, wannabe authors, about to be authors, and entrepreneurs who have started their business and succeeded at it. I thought that since this is Black History Month, that I would speak about someone who I have always admired, but I have not really shared stories about him. I want to talk about a man who had the courage and the conviction to go after his dream in a time when all the odds should have been against him. My grandfather, Elson Bennett, he was born in Texas and he left Texas to come to Louisiana. One of the reasons he left was because he was considered, well, he was born illegitimate. And unfortunately, his brothers and sisters constantly teased him about the fact that he would not inherit anything when their father passed away. Now, why he chose to go to Louisiana, I don't know. Maybe he felt there was nothing for him in Texas, and maybe he just wanted to start over in a brand new place where no one knew him or the circumstances of his birth. At any rate, he came to Texas with only a few dollars. He worked as a sharecropper and he saved every extra dime that he didn't need for his survival until he got enough money to buy a piece of land. He just wanted something that he could call his own. My grandfather picked cotton to earn that money. He worked as a sharecropper. And when he had acquired enough money that he felt he could actually go out and buy the land that he wanted, it was a small piece of land. I don't know how many acres it was, but he was happy with it because this was his. And he worked that land. He worked it very hard. He was a person who didn't give up on his dream. It would have been easy. And I'm sure when he got married, it had to be difficult to go out there and do the things that he did. But let me tell you, my grandfather, he turned that small acreage into 320 acres of property. He had his own cotton field. He grew sugarcane. He had an area that was an orchard in which there were peach trees, plum trees, and apple trees that he grew there. His farm was totally self-sufficient, meaning he didn't really need to go into town to buy many things. Most of what he needed was right there on the farm. He had chickens, he had cows, he had geese, he had ducks, he had guinea pigs, he had hogs, he had a few horses, a couple of mules, and he had a walnut tree. He also grew corn, he grew okra and black-eyed peas and watermelons and cucumbers and squash, and there were tomatoes and onions and you name it, it was there. The only thing that I remember my grandmother having to buy in town was flour, and I'm not sure why. It could have been their own, something that they did on their own because they did have wheat and stuff. At any rate, I do remember them bringing flour on a wagon, okay? And my grandmother would take those flour sacks and make clothes out of them. They did not spend a dime on things that they did not have to, that they could do for themselves. My grandfather was proud of that farm. And the the first four children they had, they lost. My grandmother had miscarriages. And they didn't think they would have any children. But they did. They ended up having six more. Four boys and two girls. My mother was the baby of the family. And she used to tell me a story about how when she first got married, she didn't know how to cook. She had to buy a cookbook. And I asked her, how could you live on a farm and not know how to cook? And she said, because most of the time, since she was the baby, she didn't really have to do a lot of things. So often, while others were working, she was doing things like the garden. My grandmother had a garden where she grew the things there. And my mother tended to take care of that for the most part. But what I remember about the farm, because we went and saved when my grandmother became ill, she had cancer. And we went back there to live with them to help take care of my grandmother after she came home from the hospital. Because when she was there in the hospital, they treated her. But when they told her that there was nothing more they could do for her, she insisted on coming home. And when my mother, when my grandfather told my mother, she decided that she would go back home and help take care of him. Now, my sister and I, oh my God, we loved being on that farm. My brother and my younger sister, I don't think they even remember much about that time because they were so much younger. And one of my sisters was actually born while we were there taking care of my grandmother. But I just loved following behind my grandfather. Wasn't a whole lot that he would let me do, but it was just fun to be there with him. And I loved walking around bare feet. Although he didn't like that. He would tell me, put on some shoes. But I was out there in my bare feet, following behind him. And I loved picking those berries. There were berries just grew everywhere. There were blueberries, blackberries, redberries, raspberries, you name it, they were there, strawberries. And I just loved picking them. And he would often say, don't put your hand in those bushes until I have a chance to shake and make sure there's not a snake in there. And one time we actually did find a snake in there. So after that, he didn't have to warn me anymore about not putting my hands on the bushes without him first rattling the bushes to make sure there was nothing there. But it was, to me, it was just great to live on that farm. Now, the part I did not like, well, the outhouse. Oh, when we had to go to the restroom, there was an outhouse that we went to. And I hated that thing. It smelled so bad. I hated it, despite the lime and stuff that they would put in there to kind of dissolve whatever, but it still smelled. And my mom said sometimes snakes were in there, and that didn't exactly make me feel too good about going out there sitting on that thing. And when the first time she told us about having to use that, I thought, if I have to use the bathroom at night, I'm going to hold it. I'm not going out there in the dark to use no outhouse. However, we didn't have to go outside because they had chamber pots. And for those of you who don't know what chamber pots are, they're little pots that they put under the bed. And if you have to use the bathroom during the night, you get out of bed and you pull that pot out and you use it and then you put it back under the bed. And you were responsible for emptying it the next day and cleaning it. Oh my gosh, another thing that I did not particularly care for. But nevertheless, there were good things about being on the farm. Aside from the outhouse and those chamber pots, there was another thing that we had to do when we wanted to take a bath. Because there were no bathrooms, okay? We lived on a farm that had absolutely no electricity. We had kerosene lamps and candles. That's what we used for light. But when we got ready to take a bath, my mom would bring in this big tub that hung on the wall outside, and she would bring it in, and then she'd have to heat water for us and for her to take baths in. And that brings me to the other thing, the water. We didn't have running water. We had a pump in the house at the kitchen sink, and you had to pump that water out of that from underground and dump it into your pot so you could heat it on the stove and in turn put it in the tub. But you always had to have some extra water sitting around in the house in case the pump wasn't bringing up water, and you used it to prime the pump to help get the water coming up. Thinking about those things now, it's really funny. I honestly don't remember how I felt about it at the time, but now thinking back, it's funny to think, oh gosh, I'm telling my age, that I was around when there was no electricity in the house. And when we went to church on Sunday, we went to church in a wagon. Wagon pulled by two mules. And there was this water spring at one of the churches, because we had to go to two churches. I don't remember which was which, but one of my grandparents was Baptist and the other one was Methodist. And they each wanted to go to their church. And so we had to go to both churches. But I remember that in one of the churches, on the ground was these little things where there was spring water underneath. And we used to get down there and suck up the water through the little thing there. And I gotta tell you, that water had the best taste. I've never tasted water as good as that since. And that's probably why people have to keep reminding me that I need to drink water. Water just doesn't taste good to me, and I don't have a craving for it. So I'm constantly reminded, your body has to have water, okay? So you've got to drink water. And what I usually do is go and boil it, and I drink it warm because I can take it better that way. However, I enjoy drinking that water from the ground, okay? I can't imagine myself getting down on the ground drinking water now. It's a fun memory. One of the things that I really liked was the fireplace, because my grandfather used to give us sweet potatoes. Well, that's the other thing. He grew sweet potatoes and white potatoes. And he would give us potatoes, whether they were white potatoes or sweet potatoes, and you could put them under the coals in the fireplace. And they had the best taste when you took them out and you peeled the skin off, because I didn't like the skin. I don't care if it is healthy for you. I didn't like eating the skin. So, but yes, it was wonderful taste on your taste buds that, and it's like the flavor just exploded in your mouth. And my grandfather used to sometimes go out and he would catch birds, and he would bring those in, and he would roast them in those coals as well. And they had a really good taste to them. It's nothing like it. Nothing to even compare to it today. But those were enjoyable days to us. And one of the things that we did that kids don't do so much anymore, we made our own toys. We didn't have any toys, but we would take, my sister and I would take the Coca-Cola bottles, and we would take cedar grass string. And I don't know if any of you know what cedar grass string is, but in those days, it was a light stuff that was when we stuffed it in these bottles, and we would use whatever we could to hold it into the bottle, whether it was a clothespin or a cloth, whatever, to stuff it to keep it in place. But you could comb it, and it was like hair. So our dolls were all had blonde hair, okay, because that's the color of the cedar grass string. And we would pretend those were our dolls, and we played with them like they actually were. They looked nothing like a doll. It was just a Coca-Cola bottle with some cedar press string in it. I learned to make doll clothes for those bottles. That was fun. But yes, we made doll clothes for our dolls, and we had fun doing that. We would go out and play in the yard, and it was just great. Playing in the dirt. Just playing in the dirt was great. And these are all wonderful memories for me. But I'm supposed to be talking about my grandfather. That's part of his story, because he really loved us. And he accomplished his goal. He set out to have some land, a place of his own that he could call his own. And he accomplished that in a time when everything was against him. He could have used any excuse for not doing anything. He could have said, well, the white folks won't let me have. I can't do because they're not going to let me do this. They just want to hold me back. He could have come up with all kinds of excuses, but he didn't let that be the case. And most of the things he learned were trial and error and by books. And did you know that people were always coming to him for advice? I can remember the people who would come and talk to him about different things to do on their farm. And even the white people came to him for advice. He was that good. And when I remember one of the times when I was out in the fields with him, and he was just talking with me. And he always called me Big Jean and my sister Little Jean. I never understood why he did that, because our names aren't alike. Mine's Luana, my sister was Irma. But he always called me Big Jean and her Little Jean, because we both had the same middle name. And he told me one time, he said, if you don't do anything else, I want you to do three things. I want you to learn how to read, to write, and do arithmetic. And for those of you who are not old enough to remember what arithmetic is, it's math, okay? That's what they call it in my day, arithmetic. And he told me that, he said, if you can do arithmetic, you don't have to worry about somebody else counting your money and cheating you. If you can write, you can sign your own name. You don't have to be putting X's on things. And if you can read, you can teach yourself anything that you don't know that you feel you need to know. And he didn't think about going to college. That wasn't his thing. He felt he could learn what he needed to do through books. And he did. And because he told me that, I fell in love with reading. And I've got a lot of books to testify to that. But again, we're talking about my grandfather, who is a major accomplishment. But I don't think he was the kind of person who was really bitter about things. Certainly he could have, when his brothers and sisters at different times came to him for help, he could have reminded them of what they said to him when they were growing up, but he helped them. He never held anything against them for how they treated him. He just helped them. That was the kind of person he was. And I like to think in some ways I'm like him. My mother certainly had his drive. I do want to say my grandfather, when he passed away, he owned his farm, 320 acres. He owned it free and clear, owed nobody a single dime on that farm. When his wife was in the hospital, he paid all her medical bills. All other bills he had were always paid and taken care of. And he was even able to leave his children some money. So that's where he came from, nothing to that. And if he could do it in his time, certainly the rest of us have no excuses for not going after our dreams. Now, my mom, as I was about to say, took after my grandfather, because when we left Louisiana and went back to Texas, my dad brought us to California. Unfortunately, he chose to leave us at my aunt's house. And my mom had to, my mom had to make it on her own. And she had six kids. But she didn't let that stop her. She set a goal for herself. And I like telling this story. My mom's goal was that she wanted to work for the post office. She wanted to own her own home. She wanted to have her car, and she wanted to have some money in the bank. Now, we were on a county, and we as children, as we got older, and she kept talking about these dreams, I personally started thinking it's not going to happen, because the years were starting to pass by, and she continued to talk about these dreams. And I really didn't think it was going to happen. She studied for the post office. She took test after test after test. And she felt she knew everything she needed to know to pass the test. And she started taking the test every time she found out they were having one. In the beginning, her scores were low. She would barely make 50% sometimes. But the more she took those tests, those scores started going up, to where she started getting 100%. And now all she had to do was wait to be called. But again, I'm thinking it's not going to happen, because now I'm an adult. I'm out the house, okay? But my brother, who's younger than me, went into the military, and he had saved up some money and bought himself a used car. He gave that car to my mother. And it was like, that was the catalyst. Because once she got the car, she got called by the post office. And her dream had come true. She's working for the post office. And she, like her father, she started saving her money because she wanted to have that house. She's got two of her dreams. Now she's saving money for that house. And yes, she got the house. She got the house, a brand new, never been lived in before house. And she was just thrilled to death. So proud of herself. And we were all so proud and happy for her. And then, of course, after that, she continued to save her money. I am very proud to say that my mother not only had bought that one house, but when she decided to retire, she sold that house and bought her another brand new, never before lived in house here in the area that I live in. And again, what she taught me is that dreams don't always come true right away. In fact, in both cases, they had to work hard for what they wanted. It took years for my grandfather to get to where he was at and accomplish the things that he did. It took my mother years to get what she wanted. There were times when I just felt so bad for her, because I thought, it's not going to happen. We're living in a project. We're on the county. You know, we're dependent on a check from the county. And then she started doing night work as a security guard, anything to help prepare her for the day that when the post office called her, she would be ready. She never gave up. I wasn't the only one who thought that. I never told her that, but that was what I was thinking. But there were others who actually said, you should just let that go and drive for something else. But my mother kept saying, no, I'm going to have my house and my car. I'm going to have work for the post office, and I'm going to have some money in the bank. Even if it's only a little bit, I will have some money in the bank. So she stuck to her dreams and she talked about it. How many of us, when we have a dream, when we have a few obstacles that come our way, we immediately give up. We think, oh, well, I guess it wasn't meant for me to have. Or we find other excuses for not going on. Well, this show is all about going, having the courage to live your dream. I hope that you will be like my mom and my grandfather and have the courage and the conviction to go for your dream and to stick to it, even if it takes you years to accomplish what you want to do. There are things that you can do along the way that will help prepare you, but please don't give up on your dream. And don't let anyone else take your dreams from you, because you can have it. It all depends on you and your willingness and your determination and persistence to stick to it, despite all the things that are trying to hold you back. Well, I'm excited to be back with you and to have shared the story of my grandfather and my mom. It feels good to talk about my grandfather, because I've always kind of held back. I didn't want to sound like I was bragging, but he earned the right for me to be sharing his story. And I'm glad to be able to do that here with you. And I hope that it helps you and it puts you in the place of thinking, if he could do it, I can do it. Because remember, he was born in the late 1800s. When I was living on his farm, there was no electricity. That's how long ago it was. And I'm not telling you my age, because that is an unlisted number. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you definitely got something out of what I shared with you today. I look forward to being with you again. And you can always find us on iHeart and Roku and Amazon Fire. Just look for on Amazon Fire and Roku, look for us under Raven International Media Network. Now, iHeart, just look for Courage to Live Your Dream and you'll find us. All right. So get out there and go for your dream. And remember, we will be back. Sorry, I got a little tongue tied there, but we will be back. And it is so good to be sitting here with you today. And remember, stay safe and keep the faith. Until next time.